Thank you, Stuart. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I would like to open up by saying, friends, Romans, and countrymen, lend me your hearts. Just a bit of a twist. It's good to see familiar faces. Andrea, I've noticed you, and some other people, I've seen you as well. I cannot remember your names. But it's good, really, to be with you this morning. Thank you for allowing us to share, Stuart, and the leadership of the church. Thank you so much to see you, Judith and David. Good to see you. Unfortunately, we can't stay with you this time, but Magnus and his wife so wonderfully opened their door for us to come and stay. So thank you once again for that. We just would like to share with you about our work. SIM, for those of you who do not know the name, SIM stands for Serving in Mission. And Joshua, who's from Nigeria, he's our international director. Now, I am directly responsible to our director in South Africa, Siegfried Ngubani, to the work that I am doing in South Africa. So if you think I am not doing my work, you can phone him and talk to him and hear what I'm doing there. SIM is a big organization, and therefore, you know, we're moving from all countries to all countries and all over the world. SIM is involved with missionary work. For example, the work that started off in Sudan, there's missionaries that can be sent from Sudan now, whereas many years missionaries went to Sudan, and missionaries can go to India, to Ethiopia, to serve the Lord. As I said, SIM is a big organization. It's also an ancient organization, old organization, and we know what goes with age, isn't it? Tradition, and sometimes it's very hard to break tradition. And so SIM is an organization as well. There are many things in the organization that people don't want to change, and they would like to stick in that rut and not to change. But, you know, we have to change and see what God wants to do currently, now, where we are in serving the Lord. One of the things, the pillars of SIM, there's different pillars which I will be sharing with you about. One of the things is prayer. Prayer is vital. It's important for the organization in its existence. Whatever we do, asking God's direction for the organization, for us as individuals, as families, how God wants to how we can serve God and where we want to work. And also with the resources that God has given us, how to use these resources, asking God's direction in prayer. Another pillar is, you know, the Bible, the gospel. You know, whatever we do for people, you know, and Irma mentioned a little bit about it, you know, we can do lots of things, giving people food, giving them shelter, giving them all the practical things, but we believe as an organization, what really people need mostly is the Word of God. And without the Word of God, you know, people will not really experience true satisfaction. And it's the Bible, the Word of God, by hearing that people can be set free from the bondage of sin. Yes, it's important for us to grapple with the Word of God and to say such and such a theologian say this and such a theologian say that and interpret it. But we have to remember as missionaries, as well as pastors do, the Word of God needs to be interpreted by the Word of God, to stick to God's Word and not just going by what other people say. We know there's lots of things that people are teaching and preaching nowadays that is not the Word of God. And so it is important as missionaries as well that we stick to the Word of God, whatever we teach and whatever we say. What is central for SIM? The church. Without the church, SIM is non-existent. They cannot exist. They cannot operate. Now, if I will maybe say to you a shocking thing this morning. SIM do not send missionaries. Do you agree with me? Who sends missionaries? It's the church. Thank you, Pastor. It's the church, and somebody else there mentioned it as well. It's the church that sends missionaries. And therefore, if we have a lone ranger, you know what a lone ranger is? Somebody that operates by himself or herself. If we have a lone ranger missionary on his horse or on his boat coming on the doors of SIM and say, "Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. SIM. I'm here this morning. I want to be a missionary. Can you please send me out?" SIM will say, "Hold it. Where is your church? Where is your church leadership that backs you, that stands behind you, that says to you, yes, you can go and we've seen the qualities within you because that's where you've been growing up, isn't it? That's where you've been learning the background of the church. Without the church, SIM will not send any missionaries. So the centrality of the church is very important. And also SIM would love to see, you know, the thing that is vital on the heart of God, and that is missions. That missions is also center to what the church is doing. And therefore would love to come into the church like what we are doing now, talk about missions, like the church to have a thrust of missions. Because missions is not something that was made up by a pastor somewhere in many years ago, or even by the Apostle Paul, for that matter. Missions is really the heartbeat of God, the Missio Dei. It is what God is currently doing in the world, what God has been doing in the world, and what God wants to do in the world. So it is not something that has been made up by Stuart and his leadership and say, how can we do missions? And this is the work of the missions that we think should happen. But no, missions is something that started right with God, right at the beginning. From Adam and Eve, right through the Bible, you will see that missions is very central. And so the church for SIM is very important in that aspect. And therefore, we as a family, we've been called to Cape Town. I don't know if you can remember the last time that we were here, we said, we are on our way, we are on our journey to Cape Town. Yes, we are there now, and we have anchored ourselves in Cape Town, and that wonderful place there that you can see. We stay there. We live there. Nice house, isn't it? My wife was saying, we don't need it. Yes, that's our house. No, I'm joking. Our little mansion. No, it's a beautiful town, Cape Town. Very comfortable. They call it the Mother City. Beautiful place. If you want to come, you're welcome. But for missions. So God has called us to this place called Khayelitsha. It's a township. Very different from what you've seen before. Second largest township. Beautiful hotels that you will find there that you can stay at. Even double stories. I can't make out the double story. I think there is one over there. A double story hotel where you can come for all of these. This is where I'm working, where I go in and teach and come alongside pastors in the churches there. People live in abject poverty, and they want to, some of these pastors wants to learn what it is to use God's word in a right way. And some of them, it's incredible what goes through in their teachings. Now, isn't it beautiful? If you need a toilet at night, you need to come here in one of these. Isn't it lovely? You need to come from there, or from there, 12 o'clock at night, to come there. And here we have that comfort of our own home. Everything is so comfortable in the West, isn't it? By a button. Everything is working by a button. And at your comfort. And here, there are people that needs to come. And that is where people are living in. But you know, the beautiful thing is, it's not about that. It's about how we can come alongside people and teach people. Now, I think I've seen one of these pictures over there. Yes, that's some of the students that I'm working with. Pastors, leaders from the community. Now, it is incredible. You'll be shocked if I were to say to you what people teach. Now, Khayelitsha, there's a population of probably roughly, it's probably more than that, 400,000 people that are living there? Or it could be more than that. That is just a rough estimate that I'm thinking of. Is it right? Is it more than that? She says more than a million. Yes. Okay. There's lots of people there. But to come alongside them, and how many churches would you think exist in Khayelitsha? Just a guess, quickly. One? Four? 10? More than 1,000 churches exist within Khayelitsha. Why? You know, some of these pastors come, they start a church. They start a church that's maybe 20 people. They walk with these people, and 3 months along the line, the one person gets very fed up with what the pastor is teaching or what he's saying, or the pastor has maybe preached something or told him off that he's not living a godly life. So that person just takes 10 of his people and go off and starts his new church. And he becomes bishop, or he becomes apostle, or he becomes pastor with nobody else's blessing, but he's a pastor. And that's how churches are going. going around and growing within Khayelitsha. Now you can imagine what all of these churches popping up like that, the type of teaching that you will get from the Bible. Some people will come to you and say to you, go and eat grass because God will protect you, and that shows you the protection of God. Nothing will happen to you. Go out and eat snakes. You will become invisible because you will do miracles and other things. Where does that say in the Bible? So now for me, it's a privilege to do discipleship with these pastors. Come alongside them and say, what does the Bible say? Are these things what these people are teaching? Is it from the Bible? And then amazingly to see how the scales is just popping up off from them, and they appreciate the teaching that week after week that you're going through with them. It's not easy, but you know, it is worthwhile. Other thing that I'm also involved with is Eagles Rising, where I'm teaching very simple drama, using drama to really develop people, not to become actors or whatever, but how to become better individuals, to come out of themselves. Because, you know, I believe that a lot of times we are shy people, and people don't want to do things, and people have potential within themselves, but because they don't develop it, they don't recognize it, I try to use drama so that people just step outside of who they think they are to become something else, because that's what drama is all about, isn't it? To act, to become somebody. And once they become that somebody, realize, yes, but that is really who I am. And by doing that, they become very comfortable to stand in front of people, to speak in front of people. It's amazing. People that will appear, that you ask them to do something at the beginning, they come out and then they say, my name is so-and-so. After being to the drama school, good morning, my name is Hani Tlotlo. I am from Marabi Soso. and they just have the liberty to stand in front of people. Some of these youngsters, they're from school, from the high school. They finished high school and they come to Eagles Rising. Broken people, wounded people. And they come to Eagles Rising, which is a small place where people come to, and they get healed there spiritually, mentally, emotionally, whatever. God works in their lives through working in the lives of these people, these young people. And it's amazing. Some of them come, they have been changed. Some of them leave and they are not changed. And that's okay, because they have the choice whether they want to be changed. And it's amazing to see how God is working within their lives. And there's many other things that God has been doing in their lives. We've seen one girl going through it. She's now currently in training, and she's doing hospitality. God has been working immensely in her life, and we believe that God will use her back into the township of Khayelitsha in the area of hospitality. Now, this is my wife, as you can see there, Irma. And this is the school that she has been teaching in. She has just resigned recently from the school. Maybe she should maybe say something about you. Would you like to come and say something about it? No? No, okay. She's been teaching there. Love the teaching. Love the children. And that's where her heart is. But, you know, she had some difficulties with the hierarchical structure. And this is why she resigned. And pray with us. Pray with her that God will lead her into the future, somewhere else where God wants to use her to be involved in the lives of the people. Or maybe God wants to open up completely something new, something different for her. And you know, God is faithful and He will do that. That is our children, Emily and Daniela, doing drama in the township of Khayelitsha. And they also love walking, and they love music. There's many other different things that they love, reading. And as a mission organization, we like to partner, as Stuart has said, partnering with us in praying, in giving, and going. And you know, God wants to use anybody, not just specific people. You don't have to be cut out. Because some people say you need to be cut out for this work. I don't believe it. You need to be called. You need to know that God, this is what God wants for you. And so this is what we're doing. In partnering, and what we also doing partnering with other organizations like Operation Mobilization, George Verver, you know, the founder of OM, when they came out, and there in Khayelitsha, we did an outreach and we did street evangelism, knocking on people's doors and just to see what God been doing in people's lives from different aspects and areas. These are prayer requests. If you do remember to pray for us, those are the things that I would love you to focus on, to pray for, and to ask God to work in those areas. If there are anybody here this morning that wants to partner with us, that has not been partnering with us in praying and financially, we do have a gift aid forms there on the table. Afterwards, please go around there and have a look at it. We also have from the press, hot from the press, not the old one that are there, but the newer one that you can have. Each one of you, you can have one and pray for us. Put it up in the toilet if you don't have any other place to put it, because you will not forget us when you sit there and pray to pray for us. And I mean it. I'm serious. I'm very serious about it. Do put it up in the toilet. I will not feel offended. I will not feel offended. And pray for us. Any opportunity when you go to the toilet, you can pray for us and spend long hours there. So, thank you very much. And as they say in the local language, Nkosa, Nkosi kakhulu. And the language that I'm speaking, Afrikaans, they say baie dankie. Now, I don't know if there's a Suffolk way of saying thank you, or do you just say thank you? Cheers, mate. So, I would like to say, I cannot say cheers, mate, because there's not just one mate here, there's mates. thank you very much. Are there any questions? I love questions, and I'm sure I can answer all your questions. Ask me anything that you want, and I will answer your question. Yes. It is not safe. It is. So Khayelitsha is one of the most dangerous places that you can think of. I will not say on earth, because there's no such thing as on earth. But it is a very dangerous place. But when you are with us, you are safe. When you know where to go, you know what to do, you will be safe. So don't be afraid to come. Yes. Where you can press the button. We live in a suburb of Cape Town, so not in. I will not risk the life of my family to go and live in the township there. I would have loved to do that, but not my family.
To join the Code Challenge and to get
Any other questions? Yes, please.
Do you have a home church of your own that you could call your own home?
Yes, we have since... Daniela, since when? Did we go to this new church, Emmy? Less than a year?
I think the home church here is
No, no, no. Do you mean in South Africa? Yeah, in South Africa, there is a Baptist church that we go to, which is not far from where we are living. There is a church there, yes. Yeah, and we've just gone to that church about 1.5 years. 1.5 years. Oh, she disagrees with me there, Daniela. Yes, it's important. It's important that we belong to a local church. Thank you. One more question, and I think, was it Judith? I think I saw you. They do have like that, but more in, if you go to the rural places, this is more like kind of like city, and it is more what they would call shack dwellings, so shanty town, so that feeling would be very different than going to the countryside. When you go to the countryside of the Eastern Cape, KwaZulu-Natal, you will have that experience what you've had. In Mozambique, but not there. Yeah. There you will feel you're walking through a jungle of its own. Right. Okay. Thank you. I think tonight there will be more questions that you can ask. So think about what I've shared. In there. If there's anything that you would like to ask, we can ask tonight. Now, according to my time, there's only 5 minutes left, and I know you know we are Christians. We need to get to the Word. We need to get to the Bible. If people don't leave, they'll get angry and say, we didn't hear the word of God. So I'm going to try with all my best as an African, because, you know, Africans, we have long tongues. We don't know to shorten things very quickly. So I'm going to try to go very quickly through what I want to share. And maybe just reading the word of God might be enough. Let's just see. If you have your Bible, because I believe that, you know, everything that was done, Stuart opened his words, and everything that was done was focused on Jesus. And this was what I was going to focus on myself. If you have your Bibles, Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Also just the whole aspect of focusing on Jesus. Revelation chapter 5, and we will read verse 1 to verse to the end of that chapter. And the heading says, "The Lamb opened the scroll." And I'm going to read for you from the New Living Translation. I love it because it's very easy for understanding purposes. "Then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. There was writing on the inside and outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel." Stuart said he was waiting for an angel for the performance. And it says, "And I saw," "I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seal on the scroll and open it?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it." Verse 4, "Then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, 'Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and the seven seals.' Verse 6, "Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it has been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings among the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which represents the sevenfold Spirit of God that is sent out into every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song with these words, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to break its seals open, For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth.' Then I looked again, and I heard the voice of thousands and millions of angels around the throne, and the living beings are the elders. And they sang a mighty chorus, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And then I heard every creature in heaven and the earth on earth and under the earth and the sea. They sang, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power belongs to the one sitting on the throne and the Lamb forever and ever and ever and ever and ever.'" And go on, how many evers you can find. "And the four living beings said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb." Now, I want to ask you a question this morning, and I will also ask a second question this evening. Who is Jesus to you? And this evening the question will be, why do we come to church? Why do we come to church? You know, John saw the Lion and the Lamb together. Who is Jesus to you? Jesus is the one that has come. You know, we know the characteristics of a lion. It's powerful. He commands respect, confident. What about a lamb? A lamb is almost kind of like weak. No confidence. He fears as much around him than any other animal. But you know, the Lion in Revelation represents the King of Kings, because the Jews expected this Lion to come from their tribe, but it came in a form in which God wanted Jesus to come. To come to do what? To set us free. To bring us closer to God. And I'm just wondering, who is Jesus to you this morning? Maybe Jesus is another prophet. Maybe Jesus is just one of the characters from the biblical people. But who is Jesus really to you? Is Jesus really the Son of God who has come to die for the world, to set us free, to set you free, so that we can have eternal life? And as I said, I promise I will finish, and I'm finished now. Who is Jesus to you? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much this morning that we know that everything can be focused on you, nothing on ourselves, but you that have come. Jesus has come into this world to set us free, to set the world free from the bondage of sin, slavery, so that we can live in freedom. We don't have to feel guilty. We don't have to walk around and think that we have been rejected. You have come to receive us, to make us whole, and to bring us closer to the Father. And we thank you for this privilege, this time that we will be reminded again and again about the birth of Jesus Christ, why Jesus Christ came to this world. And I pray, Father, that this question will remain with us today or throughout this week. Who is Jesus? Not for the other person, but who is Jesus for me and to me? We bless you forevermore. Amen.
Thank you, Ron. I got to tell you, I didn't know what passage Ron was going to read when I chose that first song. And I don't think you need many words when it's as clear as that. When I choose a song, "You're the Lion of Judah, the Lamb that was slain." And then Ron, from the other side of the world, comes and reads that passage. Let God speak to us this morning. There's been a number of things over these last few months where God has revealed himself, and in that very simple way. God has spoken to us this morning. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Who is Jesus to you? Ron, it didn't need more than that, really. It's a lesson for us pastors sometimes, isn't it? It's not always about the volume of words. Why has God said that to us? Some of us need to know that, don't we? That he's the Lion, strength, might, power. Let's finish then. I just mentioned that because I want to make sure that we capture and don't miss what seems like a circumstance, but God works in those things, doesn't he? Let's finish this morning with this lovely song. Glorious light, see the dawn of salvation. Angels in white fill the skies.
Glorious, I see the dawn.
grant to us that we would have that sense of wonder and awe of Jesus, the Lamb and the Lion, come to earth to save us, to rescue us, to bring us all of